Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 21 tonight. Proverbs chapter 21. Years ago, while I was door knocking here in Queens Rocks, I walked the door of the house was around the corner, and I walked around the corner to, you know, it was quite a long drive getting in, walked around the corner to go to the door, and as soon as I walked around the corner, out comes the pearly teeth of a dog chasing me to the road. And I took off running and got to the road before he did, and the owner came out and says, "Oh, don't worry, it's just a puppy, it won't hurt you." I thought, well, that pup's pretty hungry looking to me. He's growling and snapping at my heels. Thankfully, I got there before the dog got a hold of me, but it would have been nice if they would have kept the dog on a chain. And since that time, I'm very grateful that they have enhanced the dog owners' laws, and dog owners are more responsible now and keep them closer to the house or locked up or chained up, and that's a good thing. Solomon here in our text tonight describes for us common problem with a critter that is more dangerous than a dog. Everyone has one, and all too often, we don't carefully guard it. That's our tongue. Here in Proverbs chapter 21, in verse number 23, we read, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. This verse challenges us to guard our mouth and our tongue, but we must ask ourselves an important question. What must we do in order to do this successfully? Now, this isn't something we've never heard before. You've heard this, I've heard it, we've all heard it. We need to guard our tongue. But how do we do that successfully? How do we do that day in, day out, and do it in a successful way? Well, as we look at this tonight, I want to answer some things that may be helpful to us. Number one, to guard our tongue successfully, we must know our tongue's potential. What is the potential of our tongue? Well, our tongue can be very destructive. Our tongue can be very destructive. And we're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures tonight. I told Melody on our way that we're going to be covering most all of the key verses on the tongue in the Bible tonight. So we've got lots of verses here. I don't expect you to find each one of them tonight, but it'd be good for you to write them down. You'll be helpful to them later on. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What a powerful tongue. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19 says, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." When we say, the more we say, the more chance is that we're going to say something sinful. It says, "The multitude of words, there's going to be sin in there somewhere if we keep on saying too much." Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18. "There is that speaketh like a piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Proverbs 12, 18. The piercing of a sword. God says sometimes when we open our mouths, it's like stabbing someone with a sword. But he says that on the contrary of that, the tongue of the wise is health. Actually gives healing. Proverbs 15, verse 2. Proverbs 15, 2 says, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." So we've got a choice. We can use our knowledge right in what we say, or we can pour out our foolishness. Proverbs 26, verse 28. "A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and the flattering mouth worketh ruin." Lying and flattery. Lying is saying things that aren't true. Flattery is exaggerating or buttering up somebody to get them to do something we want them to do. Both of them are wrong. Richard Wardlaw, if you ever get an opportunity to read his commentary on Proverbs, you will not regret it. It's very in-depth and very helpful. And I'm going to read an extended explanation of this verse here tonight from Wardlaw's commentary. I don't normally read long ones like this, but he says it so well that I want you to think about it. I'll try to read it slowly, and you let it soak in. He said, openly uttered and secretly whispered words may break hearts, may ruin characters, may sever friends, may bring individuals and families to beggary and disgrace, may spread alienation and discord, may be even as barbed daggers that take away life. A word of slander brought out in a moment of irritation or thoughtlessness may cost a man the humiliation of submissive apology or the annoyance of an expensive litigation or the reparation of heavy damages. The recollection of a hasty expression, along with the effects which have risen from it, to those to whom at the time no harm was meant, may inflict severe and long continued self-reproach and with all its accompaniments of mental disquietude and distress. The foolish utterances of an unguarded hour may go far to shake the credit of years of discretion. The recollection of that hour of folly ever returning upon the mind of the previous admirers, and if not absolutely obliterating their former estimate of a man's sound sense of and dignity, operating at least as a serious drawback on their respect for his character. Lastly, he says, it leads to inward deep remorse arising from a consciousness of having spoken inconsistently with our Christian profession and principles, and the thought of having given unfavorable impression of our religion and failed of an opportunity to honor God. Our tongue can be dangerous. The things that we say hurt people deeply. We must guard our tongue. James tells us that we cannot tame our tongue. The book of James, chapter 3, is dedicated almost exclusively to the tongue. And in James, chapter 3, and verse number 8, James says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now, when we think of taming something, you can tame a lot of different kinds of animals. You get wild animals and you spend time with them and you can train them and you can tame them to a degree. Whether you should ever trust some of them is debatable. People train snakes, big pythons, and let them crawl all over them, and they're huge enough that they one wrong move and they could squish them to death. Sometimes they do. People train lions and tigers and all kinds of wild critters. But in one wrong moment, that critter can go back to his old ways and tear him to pieces. The tongue cannot be tamed. And we can control it, but never tame it so that we can trust it. I remember years ago when we lived in Papua New Guinea, we had two dogs, both of them blue heelers. Maybe it was three. But they did not like the native people. And so we kept them on chains most of the time in the yard in case somebody came in. And one of them, the female, she was more friendly, and I'd never seen her hurt a flea. She was pretty friendly. And the meter man came to read the meter, and he had to let him in the gate and come into the house. And here comes the female dog. And I says, she's okay. She won't hurt you. Next thing I know, bam, she bites the guy. I thought, oh, man. Now we had to pay compensation and all kinds of things to keep him happy. And I thought it was tame. But she wasn't as tame as I thought. And so it is with our tongue. Our tongue can be dangerous. More dangerous than a dog in a lot of ways. And you cannot trust your tongue any more than I could trust that dog. Because you never know when it's going to turn on you. Secondly, we must heed God's warning regarding our tongue. Notice he says here in our text, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." To keep it is to guard it, protect it, to keep it from doing the wrong thing. And we need to guard it. We must guard it when we speak. You know, guard so we know, you know, not every time to speak is the right time. Sometimes we just need to keep our mouth shut. God tells us there in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 7, there's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13 says, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." To answer a matter before you hear the whole thing can get you into trouble. We hear part of it, we think we had it figured out, and we know our answer, and we blurt it out, and then we hear the whole story and find out, yeah, I didn't have all the facts, and I opened my mouth, and I said things that I shouldn't have said, and messed things up, and we need to be careful. We need to know when to speak. The words in James 1:19 ought to be our motto when he said, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." We need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So many times we're swift to speak and slow to hear. God says it shouldn't be that way. We need to listen. Listen carefully. Listen attentively. Listen completely before we open our mouth. One preacher suggested that we may need to even make even in our marriages maybe to make an agreement that if I have a differing opinion that, or if I'm not sure I agree, that I won't say anything for at least an hour, or he said you might even want to make it 24 hours. So that you have time to think and pray before you open your mouth and say something you shouldn't say. I never really thought about that before. I just heard him say that today, this afternoon, when I was listening to some things. I thought, well, that's a good possibility, a good opportunity there to just say, all right, if I've got a differing view, rather than cause disgruntle between us, I'll think and pray about it for at least an hour or whatever we decide before I open my mouth and talk. And that gives us time to think, make sure that we're saying what we ought to say at the time we ought to say it. Some good advice. The psalmist knew that he needed God's help when he said these words in Psalm 141:3. He said, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." Set a watch before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Guard me, Lord. If you often speak when you should not speak and should be quiet, maybe you should make this your constant prayer. Lord, set a watch over my mouth. Don't let me say what I shouldn't say. Again, the psalmist said in Psalm 39:1, "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, while the wicked is before me." He said there, "I'm going to take heed to my ways so that I do not sin. I'm going to make sure that nothing that I say would be sinful." Oh, how we need to do that. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28. "Even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." That verse is kind of a slap in the face. He said, even a fool will keep his mouth shut and is counted wise when he does. Occasionally a fool will do that. And God's saying, all right, don't be like the fool. Don't be worse than the fool. Learn to keep your mouth shut when you need to keep your mouth shut. And we all need to learn that. So there's a We need to learn to guard when we speak. But not only do we need to guard when we speak, we need to guard what we say. Even when we choose the right time to speak, we often say the things that we should not say. And many times it's words that are not fit to be said. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8 says, "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." The filthy communication covers a multitude of words. Anything that is not clean in God's sight doesn't necessarily mean it's dirty. It doesn't necessarily mean it's foul. It's just filthy communication. It's something that should not be said. God would not want us to say. Before we say it, we should ask ourselves several questions. Is it true? Is it exaggerated? Is it kind? Is it selfish? Is it loving? Is it needful to say? Does it edify? Would I like it said of me? Would Jesus say it? You know, these things will help us to think before we open our mouths. Some things we should not say. They may be even true, but sometimes we shouldn't say them. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27, we read, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit." So God says, if we have knowledge, we're going to spare our words. We're going to limit what we say, guard them carefully so that we don't say things we shouldn't say. Again, James writes in James 1:26, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." To bridle the tongue. I grew up on a farm, but we didn't have horses. My dad, we'd ask Dad many times, "Dad, can we get a horse?" "No." I said, "Come on, Dad, why can't we have a horse?" He said, "All they do is eat." And he's right. You don't get anything out of them besides the fact that you got to feed them all the time and have some fun riding them. He says, "Go ride the cows. You can ride the cows." We had pigs. He said, "You can ride the pigs too." That was a wild ride. I tried that a few times. You grab on their ears and hang on tight and they'd throw you off before long. But we would make bridles for the, well, not really a bridle. We'd make halters for the cattle, but a bridle is something more than a halter. A bridle actually has a piece of metal that goes in the mouth. And when you pull on that reins, it pinches somehow in the mouth. I'm not a real expert on horse bridles, but I know that it twists and pinches the tongue or the mouth in a way that it doesn't feel comfortable. And the horse says, "Okay, I'll obey. I don't like that feeling." We never use those on our cattle. We just put a halter around it and hang on tight. But God says here that we're to bridle our tongue. Put a bridle on it so that we can pull on the reins and say, "Yep, that's enough, no more. Stop it. Don't say any more." And so, we must, secondly, heed God's warning. But then lastly, we must believe God's conclusion. Notice again our text. He says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth, keepeth his tongue, and keepeth his soul from troubles." Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. God said it'll keep us from trouble. Now, God's conclusion is based on God's wisdom. God said, if you guard your mouth and your tongue, it will keep you from troubles. God knows that when we guard our mouth and we guard our tongue, so we're guarding when we speak and we're guarding what we speak, God says he knows that that'll keep us from trouble. And he tells us in Proverbs 13, verse 3, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." There's probably no more applicable time for that statement that he just made there than when you're standing before the king. I mean, I wonder how many people down through the ages, because they couldn't keep their mouths shut, when they're standing before the king. And the king said something they didn't like, and they blurted back out and talked back to the king. And the king said, off of his head. Probably a lot of times that happened. And, you know, though that doesn't happen to us, we don't lose our head when we just blurt out what we think and what we say. But God's telling us here that it leads to destruction. It's going to hurt. It'll hurt us, just as Wardlaw was saying there. It hurts us in so many ways. If nothing else, if you want to be godly, it hurts your pride because you're going to have to go and humble yourself and apologize for what you said. And it hurts others. We've all probably heard the illustration of taking a feather pillow and breaking it open on a windy day and the feathers go everywhere and then telling the child, all right, now go pick up all the feathers. And they say, I can't. And the illustration there is a lot of times when we say things that we shouldn't say, it's just like opening up that feather pillow and letting it blow in the wind and all of our words, those unkind things just go everywhere and you can't get them back. We hurt people. So not only do we see here that God's conclusion is based on wisdom, but we also see that God tells us in Proverbs 15, verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Wholesome tongue, a healthy tongue, is a tree of life. It actually benefits. We don't fully understand the tree of life that's described in the Bible. There's a tree of life in the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve were forbidden to eat of it once they sinned, lest they should live eternally in their sinful ways. But God says there's going to be a tree of life in heaven someday. Exactly what that tree of life does, I mean, we will have eternal life, so how's it going to give us life? I don't really know, but it's obviously something very helpful and beneficial. And he says here that a wholesome tongue is like a tree of life, doing helpful, healthy, building up, edifying things. That's what we need. And experience supports God's conclusion. You know, we've all heard, and I know that even these children have probably heard. Have you children ever heard this statement? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. You ever heard that? That's a lie. It's a lie. It's not true. It's a lie. Oh, the idea behind this, when parents are saying that, they're trying to keep people calm and, you know, oh, mommy, Johnny said something bad about me. Don't worry, sticks and stones will hurt your bones, break your bones, but words will never harm you. You'll be all right. You'll live through it. And they're trying to calm the child, but the statement is a lie. It is not true. And the reason it's a lie is because each of us have been hurt by somebody's words. Now you think about that. Has there ever been anything that someone said, maybe your parent, may have been a friend, may have been somebody at school, may have been a bully, it may have been somebody that's but they said something and you've never forgotten it. It hurts to this day. Every time you think about that, it's like somebody poking you with a knife. It hurts. Words are very painful. And many times it takes longer to heal the cutting words of a person than it does to heal an ailment physically. I mean, you break your arm, 6 weeks later you'll be back going again. It'll be all right as long as they set it properly and you'll be back operating again. Somebody stabs you with their words and it may last for the rest of your life. Never be able to get it out of your mind. Oh, are we to forgive? Yes, of course we are. But they hurt. And it's hard. You know, we're to love our enemies. But honestly, there's some people that, you know, I'm glad that love is an action, not an emotion. Because when God says, love your enemies, we can love them even though we may not like them. We're to treat them lovingly, but we may never really like them. Because of things that they've said or things that they've done that has hurt us deeply down inside. And there may be somebody in your life, in your past, that has hurt you deeply. You still need to love them and forgive them, But at the same time, you may never be able to forget that completely. And it'll hurt. So we need to guard our words. Mean, spiteful, vengeful words have destroyed countless marriages. Many friends have turned into enemies, all because of words that never should have been said. Unguarded words severely hurt others, but like a boomerang, they will come back and trouble our soul. That's what he tells us. What he says, he says, keep your mouth and your tongue from troubles. Whoso keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps his soul from troubles. If you don't keep your mouth and his tongue, it's going to come back and get you. It's going to come back and bite you. Unguarded words severely hurt others, and they will come back after you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, and verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. That verse has always troubled me. He didn't say every filthy word. He didn't say every mean word. He said every idle word. Those are the things that we just say when we're just kind of running off the mouth, just having conversation. Doesn't really make any difference one way or the other. Every idle word we say, everything that's not even important that we say, he says we're going to give account to God. God's got a record of every word you've said, every word I've said. He says we're going to give account to God someday for what we've said. And every word we've said, whether it be good or bad, he says we're going to give account to it. Now, if he's keeping track of all the idle words, what about all the nasty words we've said? What about all the mean things we've said? What about all the cruel things we've said? What about all the hurtful things we've said? What about all the nasty names we've called people? What about all the harsh, cruel, unkind things we've said with our lips? God's going to hold us accountable. That's not a pleasant thought. We're going to stand before God someday. Now, the right thing to do is to, when the Lord brings it to our mind, is to ask the Lord for forgiveness and then humble yourself. The hardest thing you can do, humble yourself and go to the person that you said it to. Hopefully it wasn't the pillow full of feathers. But if it was just a person or two or three people, go to them. It's hard. But you need to go to them and say, you know, what I said was not right. God's convicted me. I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? Don't just say I'm sorry. Anybody can say I'm sorry. You tell a kid, you hurt your brother. Tell him you're sorry. I'm sorry. You know he wasn't sorry. But when we come to the place where we say, I am sorry and I want you to forgive me. Would you please forgive me? Then they have to respond back. They may say, I'm sorry, but right now, it hurts so bad, I don't think I can forgive you right now. Sometimes that happens. What do? Get mad at them again? Say something nasty again? No. Give them time. And say, well, listen, I'll give you some time. I know I hurt you very deeply. I'll give you some time. Let God just work in your heart, but I do want you to forgive me. Please do so. And, you know, just gently deal with the situation. Another, you know, this is a humiliating thing that we have to do. And though it is very difficult, it's essential. And there may be somebody in your life right now that you know very well you need to go and ask them for forgiveness. And you've not done so. You're never going to be right with God until you do. You got to do it. I hate doing that. I've had to do that scores of times. And many of you, I've had to come to you and say, what I said wasn't right. I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? I do not like doing that. But until I can guard this mouth and keep it from saying things it shouldn't say, I got to continue to do that. And so do you. We need to do that if we're going to get right with God and stay right with God and to keep harmony in our relationships. So if your words have cut like a sword rather than healing like ointment, and you've harmed others, you've brought trouble to your own soul, but you've also brought trouble to others. If that's the case, what do we do? Number one, stop making excuses. Our first thing that often happens is, I wouldn't have said that if they wouldn't have acted like that. No, that doesn't count. That's an excuse. We make tons of excuses. God says, no excuses. We just need to come clean and say, God, I was wrong. I did not guard my mouth. I was wrong. Ask God to forgive us, begging for help to learn to guard our tongue. You know, we need to guard our tongue like we would guard the cage of a deadly snake. You know, let's just assume that you have a cage in your back room of your house, and in it is a deadly snake. And it's safely kept, it's a strong cage, but you guarded that cage. You would be very careful how you guarded that cage if you got kids in the house, or even your own self in the house. You don't want that snake getting out of that cage. We would guard it very carefully. And God says, our tongue is like a sword, it's like a viper, it's like a snake, it's like a deadly enemy that can do great harm. We need to guard it carefully. And then, as we've already discussed, we need to humble ourselves and seek the forgiveness of those we hurt. And folks, you know that if someone has hurt you deeply, even if they come and apologize to you, our human flesh cannot fully blot it out of our mind. Oh, we can forgive, but we are not capable of erasing something. We cannot delete something and it's just gone. But thankfully, God can help us to forget. And that's what we need. We need to, I think one preacher, I don't remember who it was, made this statement. Someone said, don't you remember what they said about you? And he said, no, I distinctly remember forgetting that. And that's what we need. We need to put it out of our minds, forgive, and choose to not think about it. Guarding our tongue is no small matter. And I urge you to seek God's help humbly and seriously. We need to guard our lips. It goes for all of us. It'll help us immensely if we do. God says here, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles.